And the whole church said, amen, amen. Thank you, Todd, for those songs. Welcome, everyone, here this morning. If you're visiting among us, we are delighted to have you with us. We do want to remind you and also reminding each other that this is the place of faith, family, and friends. Amen. You know, in just a couple of days, in just a very short time, if you've been looking at your calendar, by the grace of God, we're going to be launched into a new year. 2019 is just on the horizon. And it's during this time that people began to think about those New Year's resolutions. This is what I'm going to change. This is what I'm going to work on. This is what is going to be different. And maybe people come up with a list of New Year's resolutions. You know, statistically, it is said that most of those, the majority of people, abandon their New Year's resolutions within the first 6 months. So that gives you some idea of how the resolve that they made did not stick. It did not become a part of their life and their routine. Now, as children of God, I want us to think about a New Year's resolution. We're not going to have a list. We're just going to have one. Just one resolve. Just one New Year's resolution. And that is, as people of God, to be motivated. To be motivated. You know, motivation is described, or it is defined, as what prompts a person to action. What incites, what compels a person to take action. You know, you turn to the scripture and you begin to realize, and it's certainly true today, that people are motivated by different things. For example, people are motivated by money. We find an example of this even in Scripture, and it's certainly true today. People are motivated by the almighty dollar. But we go back to Matthew chapter 26, and there's the example of Judas. Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And after he received his money, it says he sought the opportunity. You know, just looking for the right time to betray Jesus. He was motivated by money. You know, people can also be motivated by the praises of men. You see that example in John chapter 12, verses 42 and verse 43, it says there, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but did not confess him because of the Pharisees, lest they be put out of the synagogue. And it says in verse 43, because they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. You know, they were motivated by the praises of men. There can be people who are motivated by the praises of men. And why are you doing that? Oh, to receive the accolades of men, of people. I want people to praise me for this. Oh, they sought the praises of men more than the praises of God. And people can even be motivated. You remember, motivation is to what compels us into action. People can be motivated by envy. Think about that. Envy can be a motivating factor in the lives of people. It was on that occasion with the Jews in Matthew 27. Pilate knew that. It says Pilate knew that it was because of envy that the Jews had delivered Jesus. They not only hated Jesus, but they also envied Jesus. And then there are those who are motivated by personal benefit. You know, why are you doing this? Because it benefits me. have an example of that in John chapter 6 and verse 26, where Jesus said to the crowd, he says, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and the fishes. Jesus says, you're not seeking me because you see the signs, and the signs served as a testimony as to who Jesus was, identifying him as the Messiah. He says, you're not seeking me because you saw the signs. You're seeking me for personal benefit. You're seeking me because you were fed the loaves and the fishes. You see, people can be motivated by a number of things. And if you look at that we've gone through, it's selfish. That's self-centered. It's selfish ambition. But I want to think about us. As people of God, trying to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, what should motivate us? Remember, that's our resolve. Just one resolve this year that we're going to carry in by the grace of God, that we'll carry in to 2019. It won't be something that we abandon in the first 6 months, but it really becomes a part of our lives. It really becomes a motivating factor in our lives. And so there are a number of things here that should motivate us throughout the year. We just got through singing about one of those, and that is the grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The grace of God should motivate us as people of God, compel us, drive us into action, because grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God giving us something that we do not deserve. Which one of us could stand up and say, listen, I deserve the grace of God? God owes me that unmerited favor. I think we know not. We would say, no. Because without the amazing grace of God, we know exactly what we deserve, and we know exactly what we would get. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This thing about salvation comes to us by the unmerited grace of God, giving us something that we do not deserve. And you know, the Apostle Paul realized this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's thinking about his apostleship. And he writes there in verses 9 and 10, I'm an apostle. I'm not worthy to be apostle. It is by the grace of God I am what I am. And he says, because of that grace, I labored more abundantly than they all. Paul says, I am motivated. I am driven by the grace of God. Do we really reflect upon that amazing grace, how sweet the sound that God bestows his unmerited favor upon us, and that God gives us what we do not deserve? Does that not compel us into action? There's another thing that certainly should motivate the child of God, and that is not only God's grace, but the love of Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, he says. That word compel there carries with it the idea that the love of Christ drives us. The love of Christ prompts us. The love of Christ motivates us. And that's the love that Jesus has for us. You know, we just got through gathering around the Lord's table to remember the sacrifice of Jesus and to remember the blood that he shed. What prompted him to do that. It was the love that he had for us. You know, there is that children's song that sings that says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's change that up a little bit. Jesus loves me, this I know, for in the cross I can see that it's so. You know, when we just began thinking about the love of Jesus for us, that it should compel us and motivate us and drive us. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses that word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. He says the love of Christ compels us. It moves us. It motivates us into action. There's another thing that should be a motivating factor in the life of the child of God, striving to walk into the footsteps of Jesus, and that would be the inheritance that is laid up for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now listen about the inheritance. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Do we spend time thinking about that inheritance? Incorruptible, undefiled. It's reserved. It's laid up in heaven for you. Our Father has set aside an inheritance for us. It is reserved. It has your name on it. You know, oftentimes people talk about an earthly inheritance. And sometimes jokingly you may hear somebody say, well, I'm just waiting for my long-lost uncle to die so he will send me his inheritance. You know, whatever inheritance that we receive here, whether we think it is sizable or however we may describe it, it pales into absolute oblivion. It pales into insignificance when compared to the inheritance that is laid up for the faithful child of God. Does that not motivate us? We live faithfully in Christ Jesus to receive that inheritance. And there's another thing that should drive us and compel us and move us into action, and that is the crown of righteousness. You know, this is what the Apostle Paul thought of. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul is coming to the end of his life. He says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And notice what he says, henceforth there is laid up for me. Not maybe, not perhaps, not boy, I hope so. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He doesn't stop there. Not for me only, but unto all those also. That includes us. All those also who love his appearing. As he's coming to the end of his life, what is he thinking about? What is he contemplating? Oh, that crown of righteousness, which is laid up for me, but not only me, for all those also who love his appearing. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of righteousness. What's required here to receive that crown of life? He said, I'll give you the crown of life. Paul said, I give you the... He receives the crown of righteousness. What is required here? Faithful. be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Sometimes you hear people say, well, listen, I'm not perfect. God does not require perfection. He requires faithfulness. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Does that not compel us, drive us, motivate us into action? As we launch into the new year, may we be motivated to action in these areas. That we will be motivated to action to spend more time in God's Word. You look over the past, how much time do we spend in God's Word? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What is the key word? Desire. Desire. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What's the key word there? Love. Love. Oh, how I love the Word of God. It is my meditation all the day. The psalmist in Psalms 1 and verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. What is the key word? Delight. Delight. He delights in the Word of God. Or we have the example of the Bereans, those of Berea. It says in Acts 17 and verse 11, they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. What is the key word? It's search. They were searching the scriptures. How often? They were searching the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Brethren, may we be motivated into action in 2019 to spend more time in God's Word. But secondly, that we are motivated to a more earnest prayer life. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says of our early brothers and sisters in Christ, they continued steadfastly in prayer. What's the key word there? Steadfastly in prayer. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 says, be faithful in prayer. How is our prayer life? You know, think about it this way. Prayer, probably the simplest definition of prayer, is communication with God. Communication with God. You know, and where there is no communication, there is no relationship. Can you imagine being in a marriage where there is no communication? If there is no communication, there is no relationship. Can you imagine trying to have a friend? Where there is no communication, where there's no communication, there's no relationship. And if we are not in that communication mode with God, we need to re-examine that. We need to look at that. Because where there is no communication, there is no relationship. That we are motivated to action, to a more earnest prayer life. And then thirdly, that we are motivated to a more ready service in God's kingdom. We sing that song, we'll work till Jesus comes. Are we really being truthful in that when we sing that? We'll work till Jesus comes. And in reality, some of us, just come and sit on the pew, and that's pretty much it. We'll work till Jesus comes. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Or Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, where it says, "Through love we serve one another." That's active. That's action. That's business, busy. That's being at work. Or Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith." And you remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. Go back and read that judgment scene. And he divides those at the judgment, just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and those on the left hand, those on the right hand. He says to those on the right hand, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And they said, "When did we see you like this? And as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Serving others. Brethren, we've got to get this in our kingdom work and in our kingdom walk, that serving others is in reality serving Jesus. Amen. Serving others, in as much as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. May this be our New Year's resolution for 2019. That we are motivated. We are a motivated people. We're motivated by His grace. We're motivated by His love. We are motivated because of that inheritance and because of that crown of righteousness which is laid up for us. And because we are motivated people, we are going to spend more time in God's Word. We're going to be more earnest in our prayer life. And we're going to be ready at seeking those places that we can serve in God's kingdom, because serving others is serving Jesus. We're going to sing that invitation song. And if you've not taken that step of faith and obedience and confession and repentance and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we invite you to do that. There is no better way to close out the old year, begin the new year, by becoming a new creature in Christ. If you are a child of God, there's no better way. There's no better way to close out the old year and begin the new year by asking brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you and to petition God on your behalf. We invite you to come as together we stand and sing.